Grace Martial Arts Fellowship began in 1990, went online with a website in 1995 and began publishing newsletters to the Christian martial arts community in 1998. Because of the quality of information found in those early newsletter articles and the fact they are no longer available online, we've decided to republish many of them in the coming weeks and months. Our hope is that a new generation of Christian martial artists will be blessed by the wisdom of those who are on the path before them. GMF Newsletter. January to February. 2004. Welcome to the GMF Newsletter. We pray it will encourage you in your martial arts and outreach for Christ. Dash. Thoughts from the Master. Greater than then said Jesus unto him, except ye see signs and wonders, ye will not believe. Greater than. Greater than Jesus Christ. Greater than truly the signs of an apostle were wrought among you in all patience, in signs, and wonders, and mighty deeds. Greater than. Greater than the apostle Paul. Wisdom notes. Greater than I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Greater than. Greater than Psalm 139:14. Dash. Fearfully and wonderfully made. By. Mark McGee, GMF Director. Greater than I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made, marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Psalm 139:14. The human body is the most complex structure on earth. I saw a report recently that we will breathe enough air in our lifetime to fill 10 million balloons. We will eat and digest 30 tons of food. Our skeletal and muscular systems are amazing in scope and nature. The largest bones of the body can withstand an impact of 1,000 pounds, a force powerful enough to break granite. That's because of the way God designed bones to deal with force applied to them. Bone cells constantly repair damage and change the structure of each bone depending on the need of the moment. The largest organ of our body is our skin. It weighs about 9 pounds and covers almost 20 square feet. It makes the body waterproof, both inside and outside, and acts as a phenomenal system of filtering, protecting and cooling the body. The body can reach extremely high temperatures during exercise, but special systems within skin keep the heat from damaging delicate internal organs. Skin has tremendous flexibility and can heal itself continually. The brain handles millions of ideas and communication signals every second for even the simplest of physical activities. God designed the brain to handle the vast workload by dividing it among the billions of cells in the brain. Each brain cell communicates through electrical connections to 10,000 other cells in the body, giving direction to everything from the simplest movement of an appendage to the most complicated physical feat. That means the brain has the ability to guide and control the activity of trillions of cells at any given moment in time with no noticeable delay. Exercise strengthens the skeleton. Lack of exercise weakens it. No matter how we treat our skeleton, the bone cells give us a new one every 10 years. We build a stronger or weaker skeleton throughout our lives depending on what we do with it and for it. Bones of all size in our bodies help us with the complexity of balancing a physical design that is heavier at the top. Bones in the feet are some of the weakest in the body, yet God structured them in a way that would absorb all of the weight of the body whether standing, walking, running or jumping. Another set of small bones is found in the hand. Though the bones can be easily broken or crushed, the hand has the ability to crush with great power or control with great dexterity. Every cell of the human body is a manufacturing plant with its own fuel supply and master communication system. We have trillions of cells in our bodies. Each cell is directed by its DNA, God's design system for every individual human being. Every cell knows what to do and does it on time. As billions of cells in our bodies die every day, millions of new ones are being made every second. God gave us several important senses that help us in every aspect of life. Those include touching, tasting, hearing, seeing and smelling. Sight is the most complex sense and uses more cells in the brain than the rest of the senses put together. The brain's ability to control and make sense of physical, mental, social and emotional experience while all senses are stimulated is beyond amazing and approaches the miracle of God's creative genius. We were fearfully and wonderfully made. Martial artists perform feats of strength, agility and flexibility that amaze onlookers. How can the human body move with such precision, power and balance while looking relaxed and in complete control of every movement? We know it comes from training, practice and the exercise of our will. As Christian martial artists, we know the human mind and body are great gifts from God. He created them to function successfully in specific ways and we are successful as we agree with Him about those functions. Those of us who have the privilege of teaching martial arts are given the opportunity to help men and women, boys and girls learn how to use their minds and bodies effectively and efficiently. We have the great responsibility of using mind and body for God's glory and teaching our students how to use theirs for Him. Jesus was asked what he believed the great commandment was. His answer, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind." God wants us to love him with every fiber, every cell of our being. We should do everything for him. "Whether therefore ye eat, or drink, or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." As we practice and teach martial arts this year, let's keep in mind why we do it. God will bless us as we live for him. Biblical Health Principles. By Steve Schober, MS, MH, DNM. Biblical Health Ministries. Qualities of Foods. The following five factors help differentiate a good food from a bad food. Whole, as close to the natural, created form as possible. Fresh is better than frozen, frozen better than canned. Most whole wheat flour is processed, fresh whole grain flour is good. Most supermarket oils are refined and not whole, extra virgin olive oil is an exception. Raw foods have God's enzymes and the weak organic bonds have not been modified by heat, and there is no human tampering. Satiety, satisfying in small to moderate amounts, there is not a tendency to overeat. Alkaline ash, those foods that yield an alkaline ash are preferable to the acid ash foods. Compatibility, can be readily used by our body, contains that which is essential for our body's use, nourishing and or cleansing, not a phony/fake food, non-poisonous, contains no additives or other man-made products/residues. Using the above five factors and applying a rating system, the author has developed the following chart of common foods. Items rated very low are harmful and will damage one's long-term health. The foods get better with higher ratings. Foods rated 10 to 12 are very healing and health-promoting. Foods grown and processed without pesticides, herbicides, genetic engineering, artificial fertilizer, etc., are called organic and are superior to conventionally produced foods. Quality of various foods. Quality rating underscore foods underscore. Health. 1. 12. Sprouts, raw fruit, raw vegetables, raw almonds, melons, fresh fruit and vegetable juices, green soybeans, all organic too. 11. Almond butter, flax seed/oil, dried fig/dates. 3. 10. Vegetable protein, cooked fruit/vegetables, steamed or sautéed vegetables, most raw nuts, not peanuts, and seeds, dried fruit, extra virgin olive oil. 4. 9. Homemade bean or veggie soup, herbal teas, Ezekiel break, goat's milk, babies 5. 8. Cold water fish, whole rice, whole grains, honey, some energy bars, plain yogurt. 6. 7. Whole grain cereal, whole grain bread, tea, wild poultry, free-range eggs, healthy muffins, bottled fruit juices. 7. 6. Whole grain pasta/spaghetti, wine, wild game animals, free-range poultry. 8. 5. Butter, peanut butter, free-range beef, better soft drinks, whole/natural cheese. 9. 4. Store veggie meat soup, regular breakfast cereals, roasted nuts/seeds, bottled fruit drinks. 10. 3. Feedlot beef/poultry, pizza, homo-pasteurized cow's milk, best pork. 11. 2. White bread, hamburger and french fries, coffee, chocolate, white sugar, white oils, ice cream, excess animal protein, processed cheese. 12. 1. Fried foods, strong alcohol, hard drinks, cream-filled sugary dessert snacks, donuts, sugar-coated refined cereals, most soft drinks, including diet. Sickness. Advice to follow. 1. 1. Do not eat items rated 0, 1 or 2, they are very harmful. 2. 2. Do not eat any underlined items, something in the compatibility area is very harmful. 3. 3. Best not to eat items 2, 3, 4, if you do, eat only small amounts, rarely 4. 4. It is okay to eat items 5, 6, 7, but eat small, moderate amounts, occasionally. 5. 5. Items 8 and 9 are beneficial, eat small, moderate amounts, fairly often. 6. 6. Items 10, 11, 12, eat a lot and often. Very health promoting. Getting started. One need not be fanatic about dietary issues, but a return to a simple, mostly unprocessed, predominantly raw, largely plant-based diet can be helpful. Such a diet helps assure a non-contaminated temple, body, which is surely God-honoring. When we follow his principles, we can more sincerely pray, "Bless this food to my body and may my health be used for your service." Errata. Is disease something that just happens to a person, something that is not a part of that person's purposeful activity, or is disease part of something that is purposeful and is proceeding actively in accordance with some design and is thus preventable/curable? Are you frustrated with prayers for healing because the prayers often seem ineffective or you get the same sickness again? Be sure, the Lord cares and has placed in His Word a specific health plan for each aspect of our being. Have you wondered why Christians are just as sick as non-Christians? Or, why very spiritual Christians are just as sick as less spiritual Christians? Could it be that Christians don't want to acknowledge the possibility that perhaps something they are doing, or not doing, is responsible for their illness? Blaming instead some outside forces, such as germs, heredity, viruses, fate, God, etc. Pastor George Milkmas. BHM classes will show that it is possible to escape the pain, astronomical medical bills, and loss of our faculties experienced by the majority of us and, instead, be energetic, productive and happy until God takes us home. Reverend David Strong. You will learn that you can never treat enough symptoms to correct the cause of disease. Germs are not the cause of disease, low resistance to them is, Dr. Ted Mortar. The innate intelligence God has placed within the body runs it according to His divine plan and design. Prayer may supersede that design. Dash. Who is He? From Mystical Christianity, by Joseph Lumpkin. Who is this God we seek? What is His character? If He created all things and by Him and through Him all things exist, what can we say about Him? What does He tell us about Himself? Here are the names by which He is called in the Scriptures. Each name reflects part of His character. By these names we know Him. The first and last, Isaiah 44:6, 48:12. Adonai, Lord or Master. Abir, Mighty One. Ancient of Days, Dan. 7:9, 13, 22. Christ, Messiah, the Anointed One Despots, Lord. El Elyon, Most High Ialuth, Strength Elohim, God, a plural noun, El Roi, God of Seeing. El Shaddai, God Almighty, God All-Sufficient. El Olam, Everlasting God. El Bereth, God of the Covenant. El Jibhor, Mighty God. Jael, Redeemer. Hupsistus, Highest. Jehovah, Lord Yahweh is the covenant name of God the Self-Existent One. I am who I am or I will be who I will be I am, before Abraham was, I am, John 8:58. Jehovah Yireh, the Lord will provide. Jehovah Rophi, the Lord who heals. Jehovah Nisi, the Lord our banner. Jehovah Makadesh, the Lord who sanctifies. Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Elohim, Lord God. Jehovah Tzidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rohi, the Lord our shepherd. Jehovah Shammah, the Lord is there, Ezekiel 48:35. Jehovah Sabaoth, the Lord of hosts. Jesus, derived from the Hebrew Joshua, Yeshua, Jehovah is salvation. Kadosh, Holy One. Kyrios, Lord. Logos, the Word of God. Megan, Shield. My Shepherd PSA. 23:79-13. Shaphat, Judge. Soter, Savior. Zadok, Righteous One. Theos, God. Theots, Godhead. Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, Isaiah 9:6. Isha, Yeshua, Savior. Zur, God our Rock. Greater than I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Rev 1-8. Dash. Presenting Christ in U.S. to the world. By Joseph Lumpkin. Christ has no body now on earth but yours, no hands but yours, no feet but yours, yours are the eyes through which is to look out Christ's compassion to the world, yours are the feet with which He is to go out about doing good, yours are the hands with which He is to bless men now. Saint Teresa of Avila. Christ's living in me is at the same time Himself and myself. From this moment until I am united with Him in one spirit, there is no longer any contradiction implied by the fact that we are different persons. He remains, naturally and physically, the Son of God. I remain the singular person that I am. But mystically and spiritually Christ lives in me from the moment that I am united to Him in His death and resurrection. Thomas Merton. The story of Mary holds within it several deep lessons for the Christian mystic. Even before the great schism between the Orthodox and Roman churches, Mary held a place in the minds and hearts of the Christian church. Later, in church history, in a move to balance what was felt to be an overemphasis on Mary and her status, the Protestant Church began to diminish her status until she is now considered little more than a willing incubator for Jesus. Polarization is an all-too-human reaction, which leads us, in many cases, to fully reject a doctrine and even a person when we believe it, or they, are in error. The error may hold only a part of what is presented, but the rejection is full. Thus large areas of truth are thrown out with areas of error. The Bible tells us she will be called blessed, but many do not call her anything at all. The majority of Protestant believers ignore Mary. It is the overcompensation to avoid the recurrence of the error. Throwing truth out with error, the baby that got tossed out in the bathwater of error this time happened to be the mother of Jesus. I do not support an extreme elevation or veneration of Mary or of any creature for that matter, since such a view would cloud the vision of the preeminence of Christ. But, neither do I agree with the place to which most Protestant churches have resigned her. Although it is true grace shed on someone does not indicate moral or spiritual status, it is also true God had a plan for salvation from the foundations of the world, and in his plan, Mary had a place. As people of faith, Mary's story has a deep and significant meaning for us. Grace is given without, and many times, in spite of spiritual condition. It was not Mary's state or condition but the willingness of her decision that drew the sovereign will of God. In this vein, the early fathers found something so fascinating and deeply spiritual about the story of Mary, they elevated her to a venerated status. As we look closer into the story of Mary, we will see she is the template and prototype of the true mystical experience. Her experience is the key and summation of the entire Christian process. In her we find our spiritual likeness, our history, and our story. In the story of Mary, the mystical life is foretold. Greater than Luke 1:35, and the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." 37 For with God nothing shall be impossible. 38 And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. 41 And it came to pass, that, when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the babe leapt in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost. 42 And she spake out with a loud voice, and said, "Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. 43 And whence is this to me, that the mother of my Lord should come to me? 44 For, lo, as soon as the voice of thy salutation sounded in mine ears, the babe leapt in my womb for joy. 45 And blessed is she that believed, for there shall be a performance of those things, which were told her from the Lord. 46 And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." 47 And my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Saviour. Greater than Luke 1:48 For he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. 4 Behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. 49 For he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name. 50 And his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. 51 He hath showed strength with his arm, he hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. 52 He hath put down the mighty from their seats, and exalted them of low degree. In his grace, God chose Mary, a young woman with no obvious attributes that set her apart from hundreds of others. In her own words, she was someone who counted herself as a lowly maiden. In his power and mercy he came to her. His spirit was on her and in her, and he communed with her within her heart and soul. God, being out of time and space, had a plan for creation before he created. This also includes the incarnation. Creation was created for Jesus and through Jesus. The plan for creation was completed in the mind of God before the act of creating. Therefore, Mary was in God's plan for the birth of Jesus before creation, but because of free will she had acquiescence. It was because of her free will and the obedience that followed from it she was blessed. We cannot know why Mary was chosen and set apart. God has always used men and women who seemed common and ordinary to do great things. So it was with the Mother of God. Mary, by believing the child in her, was indeed sent and fathered by the Holy Spirit of God and set in her virgin body for the redemption of man, became the first Christian. Greater than the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee, therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. It was not through doctrine or church that they met, but through a real and powerful personal communion. This is the essence of the mystical experience. God draws us and woos us to him, and in our desire to be with him we are allowed an intimate communion with him. In this spiritual state of togetherness with God, the Holy Spirit of God implants Christ in our spiritual wombs. Christ forms in us, grows in us, moves in us and through us until we give birth to him through our hearts and souls and show him to the world in our love and actions with spontaneous acts of love and serving. It is through a heart and mind that calls out to him and declares, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Only in this can we contain God's Spirit. Only in this will God hold us. By this alone comes the world's greatest experience. What we do not realize in our simplicity is each time Christ is birthed in us, we are experiencing the mystical equivalent of the incarnation once again. Each time we nurture Him in us and show Him forth to others, we have become Mary and the great incarnation has come upon us. Greater than Isa 9-6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon His shoulder, and His name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. 7 Of the increase of His government and peace there shall be no end, upon the throne of David, and upon His kingdom, to order it, and to establish it with judgment and with justice from henceforth even forever. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. It is for this event that even if man had not fallen, still Christ would have come. He is the crown of mankind. He is the crowning of creation. He was destined from the foundation of creation to be the one and only avenue for the union of God and man. Such a union going far beyond any understanding communion could bring. Thus, we may commune with God, but Christ lives in us, in a state that is distinct yet in union. In happy moments, praise God. Difficult moments, seek God. Quiet moments, worship God. Painful moments, trust God. Every moment, thank God. Dash. Struggles in life. Author unknown. One day a small opening appeared on a cocoon. A man sat and watched for the butterfly for several hours as it struggled to force its body through that little hole. Then it seemed to stop making any progress. It appeared as if it had gotten as far as it could and it could go no further. So the man decided to help the butterfly. He took a pair of scissors and snipped off the remaining bit of the cocoon. The butterfly then emerged easily. But it had a swollen body and small, shriveled wings. The man continued to watch the butterfly because he expected that, at any moment, the wings would enlarge and expand to be able to support the body, which would contract in time. Neither happened. In fact, the butterfly spent the rest of its life crawling around with a swollen body and shriveled wings. It never was able to fly. What the man in his kindness and haste did not understand was that the restricting cocoon and the struggle required for the butterfly to get through the tiny opening were God's way of forcing fluid from the body of the butterfly into its wings so that it would be ready for flight once it achieved its freedom from the cocoon. Sometimes struggles are exactly what we need in our life. If God allowed us to go through our life without any obstacles, it would cripple us. We would not be as strong as what we could have been. We could never fly. I asked for strength. And God gave me difficulties to make me strong. I asked for wisdom. And God gave me problems to solve. I asked for prosperity. And God gave me a brain and brawn to work. I asked for courage. And God gave me danger to overcome. I asked for love. And God gave me troubled people to help. I asked for favors. And God gave me opportunities. I received nothing I wanted. I received everything I needed. God will take care of your needs but not necessarily your greeds. Dash. The Warrior Spirit in Christianity. By Joseph Lumpkin and Daryl Covington, reprinted with permission from Encounter the Warrior's Heart. We have already examined the concept of the warrior in chapters past. Now, let us turn our attention to the warrior spirit in Christianity. Some believe by entering the ministry they must leave behind the warrior way. The uninformed may think we merely teach people how to fight. In reality, we teach students so they do not have to fight. When one is confident in one's ability to defend oneself, one does not have to fight to prove it. We do not have to fight someone to prove our abilities. As martial artists, we have proven our abilities in the dojang, so those issues are long settled in our hearts. The first lesson of self-defense is to avoid confrontation altogether. Without that as a foundation, the warrior becomes an uncivilized thug. There is a time to stand. An outstanding example of the warrior spirit from a Christian perspective can be found in the Bible in 2 Samuel 23:8-12 in the list of David's mighty men. These be the names of the mighty men whom David had: the Tachmonite that sat in the seat, chief among the captains, the same was Adino the Esnite, he lift up his spear against 800, whom he slew at one time. And after him was Eleazar the son of Dodo the Ahite, one of the three mighty men with David, when they defied the Philistines that were there gathered together to battle, and the men of Israel were gone away, he arose, and smote the Philistines until his hand was weary, and his hand clave unto the sword, and the Lord wrought a great victory that day, and the people returned after him only to spoil. And after him was Shammah the son of Agi the Hararite. And the Philistines were gathered together into a troop, where was a piece of ground full of lentils, and the people fled from the Philistines. But he stood in the midst of the ground, and defended it, and slew the Philistines, and the Lord wrought a great victory. The biblical warrior, Eleazar, literally stood and fought until his muscles became so contracted his sword was literally stuck in his hand. Many Christian martial artists develop this spirit of Eliezer. They are willing to stand until the end and work for God with all their might and all of their heart. In this day and age when most people have the remote control frozen to their hand, we need men and women of God to develop the warrior spirit so exemplified in Eliezer, so we may shake the gates of hell for the glory of God. We now turn our focus on the warrior spirit of Shammah, for he also exemplifies the Christian martial artist. The Bible tells us when the battle raged and everyone else ran away, Shammah stood in the midst. The practice of martial arts instills the self-confidence needed to take a stand in the midst. In today's world, many Christians try to straddle the fence and avoid difficult decisions. One who is taught to have confidence in God, through the Christian martial arts, is much more likely to take a stand in the midst of tragedy, when the non-warriors are long gone. Shammah stood during the crisis. It is easy to stand when all is well. Martial artists are taught to stand when all is not well. The principle of mind like water in Hapkido is a fine example of thinking rationally when circumstances are irrational. Calm, but not passive. I believe every minister ought to spend some time taking martial arts. If nothing else, it would give them some backbone. Dr. Peter S. Ruckman, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Pensacola, Florida. The mind must be calm, like an undisturbed body of water. Smooth water reflects accurately the image of all objects within its range. If the mind is kept calm, the comprehension of the opponent's movements, both psychological and physical, will be both immediate and accurate. If this can take place, then one's responses, both defensive and offensive, will be appropriate and adequate. In the contrary state, if the surface of the water is disturbed, the images it reflects will be distorted. In other words, if the mind is preoccupied with thoughts of attack and defense, it will not properly comprehend the opponent's intentions, creating an opportunity for the opponent to attack. When something enters our mind that disrupts its peace, it is like throwing a rock in a still lake. In order to use the mind like water principle to one's benefit, one must allow the lake to be free of ripples. Water also has other properties. Water can be very destructive. In fact, over time, water is one of the most destructive forces on earth. Your mind must be like water. When necessary, be as destructive as you must, be no more than you need to be. In a physical sense, the water principle is the essence of the Hapkido art. Water always follows the most efficient path to its end. It cannot do otherwise. As the water runs its course, barriers and obstacles arise, which at first, appear to impede or slow the flow of the water. Understanding this can lead to the better understanding of Hapkido. On the surface, water represents a gentle form of energy, always yielding, always conforming and soft, and yet, water is the great shaper of nature. It shapes the mountains and canyons, the shorelines of all the continents. The first level of understanding the water principle in its Hapkido application invokes the concept that even while yielding to our opponent's strength, we embrace him and his directed energy, which in the end dilutes his attack and focus. When an opponent thrusts, we recede, when he retreats, we fill in the space, just as water does. Though we are separate from our opponent, by applying the water principle, our movement becomes one with his. We are together, we are one. Each apart, but each causing the movement of the other. In the end, there is only the flow, the one movement, the principle of water. There is an even deeper level of the water principle. Water is free to flow in any direction, so the possibilities are limitless, but, in the end, water always chooses the most efficient path, regardless of terrain or obstacles. Water cannot make the wrong choice about its course of flow. To properly apply the water principle in Hapkido, the martial artist must take an endless journey to flow to the sea. Success and failure become obstacles in the flow of the journey. In an advanced application of the water principle, we can become as water, totally fluid and integrated with all our surroundings. The martial artist does not learn the water principle, he experiences it, becomes it, and expresses it, thus entering the flow. There has evolved a crisis of massive proportion in today's world. Passive Christianity. There is a desperate need to instill the warrior spirit in the youth of our country so they will not bend, bow, or budge to the pressures of world and stand firmly on the principles of God's word. This is precisely what Christian martial arts can be used to build the X generation into warriors for Christ. So why did Shammah stand? He was not defending all of Israel, nor the holy city, nor the Ark of the Covenant, nor the king. He was fighting to defend a field full of lentils, a pea patch. Fighting by himself, when the whole army fled, Shammah defeated the Philistine army, over a pea patch. And why, you ask? Because they were God's peas. We learn from Shammah the biblical concept of the warrior spirit. If it is God's, it is worth fighting for. Don't the children belong to God? Aren't they worth fighting for? Without exception, the children reached through the martial arts ministry have become radical Christians, turning the community upside down for Jesus. Why? the warrior spirit. We must suit up for battle and shake the gates of hell. Dash. I am the way, the truth, and the life. By Mark A. Smith. Early Christianity would have disappeared in a flash, if it wasn't for the literal resurrection of Jesus Christ. Yes, many died for a cause, but the disciples of Jesus saw their cause die on the cross, thus ending Christianity in their minds. The disciples knew the end had come, and were afraid for their own lives a depression only reversed through the actual resurrection of Jesus. Of course, there are those who believe a resurrection is not possible. One of the most popular theories is all life came from nothing, not God. First, I think it would be difficult to comprehend a condition that equals absolutely nothing. No matter, no antimatter, no dimensions, no intelligence, no force, no strength, no energy, no entropy, no quarks, no neutrons, no leptons, no muons, no quantum fluctuations, no movement, no particles, no spirits, no souls, no life, no death, no cells, no molecules, no water, no love, no time, no gravity, no universe, no pizza, and no existence of anything the imagination can muster. To accomplish work, with absolutely no one or without any force to do any work ever, would be an impossible task indeed. Give me two rooms. Place nothing in one and a highly skilled watchmaker with tools and resources in the other. Out of which room is a watch more likely produced? Could an assembled watch, with precision gears, a balance wheel, a mainspring, and a numbered face, pop or evolve out of an empty room? Of course not. Nor can our complex human life system pop out of or evolve from a dumb nothingness. The idea that we come from nothing is logically impossible. It is the weakest of all arguments. Yet a popular one at that. For those who would rather believe anything but the truth, will find their own way to explain life. Yet Jesus clearly said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, no man cometh unto the Father, but by me. John 14:6. Examine your heart, examine your mind. If you want to know the way, the truth, and the life, just ask for Jesus, and he will change your life forever. And forever is a very long time. Reprint rights are granted if no changes are made, including this footnote. Mark A. Smith, B.A., M.S.M., 1112 Baxter Lane, Freeport, Illinois 61032. For an electronic copy, email sandmark12@aol.com. Dash. Taking God's grace to the world. Join our Grace Martial Arts Facebook community. Grace Martial Arts, copyright 1990 to 2022.